The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
Cabinet today considered a €91 million deal which will see GPs and pharmacists administer a COVID-19 vaccine from early February. The contract will see them being paid £20 for each vaccination administered, along with a €10 fee for processing each patient. For more on this, we're joined by Kate O'Connell, who is a pharmacist and, of course, a former Fine Gael TD. Kate, you're very welcome to the show. Do you welcome this deal?
Yes, it's very good news because for months pharmacists and GPs have been reassuring patients that they'll be looked after, that we would be part of the rollout programme. And today really is confirmation that that step has been taken. So we look forward to hopefully the approval of the Astra vaccine towards the end of the month. And then hopefully we can start vaccinating within our community as soon as possible.
Is this deal dependent on approval of the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine? Is there any way that you and GPs could handle all the logistical difficulties that go with Pfizer or Moderna?
We can handle whatever we need to handle, but there is obviously a huge logistical impact of the minus 70 storage and the dilutions. But like that, we are trained to do that and would need to be upskilled. But our preference would be, and my preference would be, for the Astra vaccine because it's just handier in terms of delivery in the community. But like that, if that doesn't happen, we will, as we always do, adapt to provide for our patients. But it is, there's a body of work to be done before we actually start calling people in. We need obviously to have our staff vaccinated, and we need a clear rollout plan. And obviously, in light of recent days, we need a clear priority list guidelines, and we also need flexibility in terms of marginalised groups, so that we can vaccinate people that may fall outside the existing framework, but if they present at some particular time, that we can vaccinate them there and then.
Logistically, how do you imagine it working? We know there's going to be this IT system that I assume you will be using and other pharmacists and GPs will be using. Do you think you'll be allocated a certain amount of patients, people who live in your area, and then it'll be up to you to contact them? How will it work in practice, in your mind?
I'd hope that patients would register and then they will have the choice to attend where they want to attend. So some people will have, for the last decade, received their flu vaccine in the pharmacy setting and are very happy to do that. And, you know, many pharmacies open late nights, open weekends, or open bank holidays. So we have the facilities there already with light heating and IT systems in place that we can accommodate patients. And we had a trial run as such with the flu vaccine this year, in that we vaccinated a lot of people in the height of a pandemic. And as far as I know, there was no outbreak or anything associated with that programme. So we are ready to do it, and we're anxious, like everybody else, to improve the situation because it has been very challenging for the last 10 months, especially for staff.
So I'm just thinking from a patient point of view, from a citizen's point of view, you imagine it'll work like the flu vaccine. Everyone over 70, kind of get in contact now, get onto your GP, get onto your pharmacist. It'll be like that. Everybody in category 6, category 7, whatever that happens to be, you know, get onto the portal now. And when I log onto the portal, Kieran Cuddihy logs in, I'm entitled to my vaccine now, I can get it. It'll say, do you want it in O'Connell's pharmacy? Do you want it in your local GP? Where do you want to go to this mass vaccination centre? I tick whichever one suits me best and off I go.
Yeah, you make an appointment, obviously, with us. So we'll obviously have two work streams running where we'll have our normal pharmacy service operating. And then I would anticipate, I'm just doing the plans here today for our shops, that we will have a designated pharmacist and team vaccinating, preparing and doing obviously that admin piece, which is very important. Because it's really, really important for people to see the penetration of the population. Because although there has been success, and I think Paul Reid mentioned 70,000 vaccines delivered by the end of the week, I think everybody knows that that's just, you know, not getting anywhere until we actually penetrate the communities and we get to, you know, herd immunity as such. And 70,000 as a percentage of the population really isn't a meaningful penetration yet of the population.
Just let me ask about meaningful penetration. You might have heard in the news headlines there that at European level they've set these targets. They want 70% of all local populations vaccinated by the summer. Now, my kind of quick back of the envelope calculation during the rest of the news headlines there was, you know, that's about 3.5 million people here. If we say summer is the 1st of June, it's about 25,000 vaccines a day from now until the 1st of June. Is that a manageable number?
I think it is manageable. But like that, we have to be given a clear outline of rollout and supply of the vaccine so that we know that on a particular date, such and such an amount is going to land in the cold chain on the door and we can handle it and deliver it. So that we need to have structured, scheduled delivery. And also, I think there's a huge piece here in terms of a public health campaign that we are not overly burdened in terms of giving information in this setting, that it's developed through the media outlets and through newspaper advertising, that people are fully aware of how to go about their business in order to get a COVID-19 vaccine.
Well, you talk about being overburdened. Like, most pharmacies are busy on a day-to-day basis. Like, how realistic is it that you're going to have every Tom, Dick and Harry queuing up to get a vaccine on a daily basis for months on end?
Well, I suppose the nature of the business is that you've every Tom, Dick and Harry turning up for various reasons at any time of the day. We are open to the public. We don't require an appointment, and that is the nature of the job. And we have done it already. I mean, the success of the flu vaccine and how we adapted our processes to deliver that in the height of a pandemic with huge strains.
Much bigger numbers now, though, isn't it? Like, we're talking about vaccinating, you know, say 80% of the population. We're talking about vaccinating over 4 million people. I mean, I don't know how many people get the vaccine, the flu vaccine, every year, but it's not a patch on that.
My understanding is that I listened to the IPU on Radio 1 this afternoon, and there was 1.7 million flu vaccines delivered this year in a very, very short time frame. So I think this is logistically possible, obviously supported by the mass vaccination centres, and it's great that hospitals have been done as a priority so that we keep that end of the health service functioning. And it's very important that all healthcare professionals, including dentists, and that are also vaccinated, so we keep the health service running and keep our population healthy, because ideally we want to vaccinate a healthy population.
Let me ask you about another potential logistical difficulty. You mentioned the 1.7 million flu vaccines. My kids were two of them, and they got a squirt up the nose in a drive-through vaccination centre. Now, by all accounts, we can't do that with these vaccines, that because of some of the side effects, some of the reactions that people might have to them, they're expected to kind of hang around for a few minutes afterwards. I mean, that increases the difficulty, does it, for you and your colleagues?
Well, not necessarily, because that's already the case with the flu vaccine. There's 15-minute monitoring time. So we're already doing that in the community pharmacy setting. Like that, we perhaps will have to extend our hours. In my case, we may open earlier in the morning to get people who are homeschooling or dealing with family members. But like that, we'll manage it. Everybody will work together. We have a very good community system in terms of primary care delivery in this country, and we always step up to the mark, and I believe that this is very, very much possible, but it will mean keeping our staff healthy and keeping our population healthy.
Well, what is your assessment now from the outside looking in of how this has been managed, the vaccine rollout?
Well, I suppose the regret is that we were operating in a vacuum really up until last night. Today, we did expect a deal, but it has been challenging in terms of dealing with patients' concerns and people, you know, wondering when they're going to get a vaccine, very concerned about their loved ones and people in their families that are immunocompromised and perhaps not clear as to how they go about it. So hopefully that clarity will be brought in the next few weeks. But it has been a very, very difficult period, as we all know, for many people, but particularly those dealing with vulnerable people that are at risk. And hopefully there will be clarity over the next few weeks so people are confident to come and have a safe vaccine in an efficient way, and that it will be done with the appropriate support and appropriate professionalism.
We were talking about this a little bit yesterday, Kate, and a thought struck me that I was reminded of cervical check and something that Gabriel Scally said repeatedly about it, that at no time was it possible to answer the question, who is in charge of cervical check? That there was lots of different people with different responsibilities, and it meant that things fell between stools. Is there a danger of that happening here, that we don't have a person in charge? And I'm not saying we establish an entire department and everything that goes with it, and not necessarily a minister, but that there's a point person, someone who's across all of this and can answer these questions.
Well, there is a very comprehensive immunisation centre within the HSC, and they have.
I know, but people on that sit on a task force, and then the HSC manages some elements of it. The task force are informing elements of that rollout, and then when it comes to GPs, it seems to be, look, the INMO and the IMO and the ICGP will answer those questions. I imagine once it starts in pharmacies, it's the IPU will be asking questions of. Is there not an argument that the government need to have a single voice? The same way that Tony Holohan is the single voice when it comes to public health, that we've got a single vaccine voice.
There perhaps is an argument for that, and that is up to the policy deciders to do that. And I think what we have noticed in the last number of weeks is that there is a huge public appetite for information. People are looking for leadership and guidance. And it's the least, I think, we should be giving to people, considering how adherent they have been to the rules. But okay.
But they should consider it. It's very important.
Pardon?
They should consider it. The government should consider that.
Well, it's always good to have somebody to blame, but it's also good to have somebody that shows leadership, and that I suppose is someone like Tony Holohan that I assume everybody looks at and believes what he says and trusts in what he says. So there is obviously a bit of sense in it. But from my point of view, every community pharmacy and GP surgery will take responsibility for their own patients and their own communities. And hopefully, like we did for the flu vaccine, we get this rolled out and we hope that we will leave the logistics and the supply chain to the task force.
Okay.
And from that point, we will deliver to the patients.
Kate O'Connell, pharmacist and, of course, former Fine Gael TD. Kate, thanks a million for joining me here on The Hard Shoulder.